Athletic Director Baltimore lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, with that, then, we have roll call to reflect on.
We have roll call to reflect who's in attendance.
Director Baltimore.
Here.
Director Rosa.
Here.
Director Wright.
Here.
Here. Present. Let the record show that Director Baltimore did join us during the closed session, even though he was not here at the beginning of the closed session. With that then, John, could you report out of closed session, please?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At approximately 6 p.m., the board did adjourn to closed session and discuss those items that are listed on tonight's agenda.
Is your microphone on, sir?
Test.
Is it on now? Okay, picking up at 6 o'clock, the board did adjourn to closed session to discuss those items that are listed on tonight's agenda under A and B. Under A, pending litigation, which is authorized pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, we discuss the following cases: the bankruptcy case, the Golden State, sometimes referred to as the groundwater adjudication, and DeBink versus San Luis Obispo County. And then pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9C, we had one matter of initiation of litigation. Going through the items as to the bankruptcy, board did hear an update from legal counsel but took no reportable action. However, I do want to announce that with regards to the appeals case, the court has set this matter for hearing on its regular law and motion calendar for March 26, 2012 at 10 a.m. So there will be some type of hearing related to the appeals. As the audience may recall, Monterey Mechanical filed an appeal to the judge's ruling in favor of the district. As to the Golden State, this is the groundwater adjudication. There appears to be at least some confusion as to what action the board took at its last meeting, so I thought I would just clarify it. I think the minutes used the word agreed, by unanimous vote agreed to use some funds. Maybe the better language would be, and it reflects what happened, is that the board, by unanimous vote, approved the use or the deduction or the appropriation of $35,620 from the Water Quality Trust Fund, which I believe is account 3050, for the purposes of augmenting the fund for the ISJ group. This is the $35,620 equals the district's pro rata share of the funding for the basin management plan. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clarified to the extent that people were confused. Under DeBink, actually that matter was not discussed, so there is no reportable action. And under B, the initiation of litigation, I did hear an update from legal counsel, but again, the board took no reportable action. And I believe that concludes my report.
Thank you, John. With that, then, we'll move to item 3 on the agenda, which is public comment.
Point of order. I'd like to speak to the council's report.
I'm sorry, you're out of order.
The public comment is before we go into closed session.
Yes, John, he's out of order. I've got that. Okay, we're moving to item number...
He just reported on something that wasn't part of what you went in to talk about.
He clarified what we did last meeting.
Not entirely.
You can discuss that during general public comment. That brings us to item number 3, which is general public comment on items not on the agenda. Do we have any general public comment?
Frank Salillo, Los Osos. First, a simple request. There's this map here of the water purveyors on the website of the CSD. It shows Los Osos and broken out where Golden State, Sunset, S&T, and where you're located at. Would you put a different map on there? Not only show the purveyors, but show where the water basin continually goes out, so you get the full water basin in conjunction with the purveyors. I think that'd be helpful for the public. Thank you. The other thing is to remind Craig, if he had the opportunity, he was at LOCAC. At that time, I brought up the issue about Golden State was going to get a denitrification unit at the Skyline site, I believe it was. And then there was going to be a tie-in with the CSD because they were going to have excess capacity for their system, that they didn't need all that water, and you guys were going to receive some of that water and had some kind of agreement. And I believe the previous boards have supported Golden State's request for funding, as well as the County Board of Supervisors to the PUC when that issue came up several years ago. So if Craig had an opportunity to look into that and can report back, because he was at LOCAC on that issue. The other thing is that when I was looking for some records that I want to meet with COCHO staff with, I came across some of the old CSD letters and resolutions talking about affordability for the people in the Prohibition Zone back in October 2607, April 16th, 2009, September 8th, 2009. These are just some of the documents. I don't have all of them. And they were asking the county to be, don't put the burden on the people in the Prohibition Zone for excess things that really are benefit to the whole basin. And I keep bringing it to this board is that I would like to see this board kind of put something together, because it's been a while, and I don't think this board has put anything in writing to the county stating the protection of the people in the Prohibition Zone, that they don't pay for everything that the county thinks is related to the wastewater project, as they now are going to be charging us for the ISJ, because as Supervisor Gibson said, it's a related water issue, therefore the cost comes out of the Prohibition Zone. So we're going to have a basin-wide plan, and I hope the basin-wide plan will come out of the funds for the whole basin. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker. With regard to the council's report, when he came out of closed session last meeting, he said that the groundwater management plan would be complete by March 30. That question was raised in front of the Board of Supervisors, and Mr. Ogren balked at that date. So I'm, if we're going to have a deadline, then why aren't we meeting our deadline? Coming up this week at the Board of Supervisors is the RFP for the restoration of the Tri-W site. I'm curious who from the district will be there to observe and maybe report back to the district. But furthermore, a question that's been out there for some time, some negotiations were going to be done about our fence and some compensation for its use. The fence, the property has been in the custody of the county for some time, and I don't see that we're getting compensated for our fence. Something else that the community is just now coming that's coming to light just now for the community is the use of the library property for a pump generator house. This house is 17 feet by 28 feet and 14 feet high. It's a significant building crammed on the library site. I don't know how long you've all lived in this community, some of you longer than others, but the library has a plan to expand, and I believe this would impede on that future of the library and the property. It's interesting that part of the restoration of the Tri-W property will mean that the property will have mass excavation. They're going to have big tractors out there moving piles and piles of dirt. It seems to me that if we're disturbing soil, that we would put the little generator house, big generator house, on the Tri-W property rather than on the library property. And I don't know where this district stands, but it seems to me that these kinds of conversations should be going on within our community. The county is hiding information from the public. This is a significant change in the project to move this pump house. And I really just don't know who's watching out for Los Osos. The library wasn't asked. They were told that this house was going to land on their property.
Richard Margetson, with regard to the report out of closed session, I'm just curious, and maybe we can wait until Finance Committee, how this is going to be addressed in the financials in the future, this reduction in the Water Quality Trust Fund. Another issue that I haven't gotten complete confirmation at this point, but some winks and nods and that, but no verbal confirmation. It's my understanding that Mr. Gilmore resigned from the CSD as our general manager, but that he will or has or potentially will be receiving a compensation package. I guess my concerns at this point, without knowing all of the details, but from the ones I've been able to garner, my concerns are that we not write another contract, and I guess the public's going to have to really look over the next employment contract for the general manager, that it doesn't give somebody who resigns from the district, basically walked out in the middle of a week, a work week, a three-month compensation package. It's detrimental to the administrative budget, which is paid for by all of the other funds. And if he wasn't receiving this compensation package, the administrative draw from the other funds to administration this year would have been reduced, which would have helped all of those funds, especially for a district needing every dollar they can garner at this point. But you know, the people that come to this microphone and complain over the years, it's interesting how things seem to come to fruition on a number of issues. Maria Kelly was part of the process that got Mr. Gilmore here. She's not here anymore. We all know why. And now this community is stuck after putting up with a general manager who I thought from the start was, I'll be blunt, I thought he was incompetent. And I don't think there's anything that this board can point to that he championed for this community that will last into the future. And I have a problem, I have a concern that we don't make that mistake again. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Any other speakers? Gwen?
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I am going to ask a question with the hope that an answer will be given. And that being that last Thursday night at LOCAC, there was a discussion about having a joint meeting in which Greenbuild is going to be speaking on the decommissioning of our septic systems. Number one, I would strongly advise that this be deferred until a later date. It was voted upon by the committee of LOCAC that it be deferred. I would hope that this board would understand why it's too early in the process. In less than 4 years, the increase, as was determined by those who are pumpers, who operate septic systems, and the cost of how to prepare a septic system for the collection of rainwater was discussed. Just pumping alone at this present time in 2010 was $600, and that did not include the digging up of the lid for it to be pumped. That was just everything ready to stick the hose in and pump it. This, in the meantime, has gone up more for pumping. We are too far ahead of the schedule to do anything because we're not even going to be able to decommission our septic tanks for a minimum of 3 years. And when you do decommission them, they have to be scrubbed before rainwater or any other water can be placed in them to stand and be used in the garden, in landscaping. That alone is ridiculous. But let alone that, what are they going to do with all the chemicals that are needed to scrub the tanks out? Right now, for this board to have a joint meeting for anything of this nature is not cost effective, and we need every blessed dime that we can acquire in this community, particularly in the prohibition zone, when people are only able to pay their first half of their assessment district costs on their taxes. And we have another load coming up in April, so remember that, please.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment. Then I just have a couple of comments in response to a couple of questions that I can answer. We, at the LOCAC meeting, there was some questions about need to denitrification raised, and those will be answered and answers brought forth at the next LOCAC meeting. So we will have, Mr. Wright will be giving our report, and he will have responses to those nitrate or denitrification questions that were raised. The last one regarding the joint meeting, I think there's a big misunderstanding here. So there will not be a joint meeting, but there will be a presentation by SLO Greenbuild at the next CSD meeting. They are proceeding forward with their work. They are, and it's an opportunity for them to go ahead and get the community involved. So they will make a presentation on what they're doing. Not us.
Oh, yeah. The meeting?
It'll be part of our regular agenda. So we are going to allow informational session. I think it's important to get information out to the public on what's going on. And if there's going to be some decommissioning of septic tanks for water conservation, I think it's better to allow the community to get involved at the beginning than after it's over. So they will be given 15 minutes at the beginning of our next meeting to make a short presentation on what they're doing. Their intent is over the next year to work on a decommissioning and a water conservation plan. So it's nothing that's going to happen in the short term, but I think it's important to get that information out to the community and the public as to what they're looking at. I think
Marco, will the community be able to ask questions of these people?
If you let me finish, I'm not going to answer questions from the audience, but my intent is for them to give a short 15-minute presentation and then to allow public comment and questions at the end of it, just as the same as any normal agenda item. And I have discussed this with Lana at the Slow Green Build. I can understand why we don't want to do a joint meeting because of the cost and et cetera involved, but to take a half hour or so at the beginning of our meeting I think is important. They are going to proceed forward with this whether they have the meeting with us or not, so I think it's a good opportunity for us to get involved. They're doing a water conservation plan countywide, so it's not just our area, but it is an opportunity to get that information out and get input in. So there will not be a joint meeting, which, and I can just jump to the bottom of our agenda right now, it does indicate a joint meeting for April 19th. That will not occur, so you can cross that off your agendas. There was some questions asked at LOCAC regarding the denitrification, and we will answer those specific questions at the next LOCAC meeting. When Mr. Baltimore gives his report on his attendance at LOCAC, he can discuss that more because I was not there. Mr. Baltimore was. So with that, then, we'll move to Phil, your report on the fire department, please. Or, pardon me, CAL FIRE.
Sabotage me, didn't you? Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. Again, it's an appreciate the opportunity to come before you and deliver your January 2012 fire manager report. In the month of January, CAL FIRE Station 15 responded to a total of 113 calls. Four of those were simultaneous calls, with one of those simultaneous calls requiring advanced life support from your paramedics. Of the 113, 63 were medical aids, 28 requiring advanced life support. Two were reported as traffic collisions, with five incidents reported as fires. Company 15 returned a total of eight times to support CAL FIRE Station 15 permanent staff. Also within the month of January, Station 15 participated in a San Luis County master planning, strategic planning document writing. This was a document that the county's been working on for several years through a variety of different consultants, and Chief Lewin brought us in to kind of fine-tune it. Amy worked for a day, and then I worked for several days on that down at the South Bay Training Center at the old Sunnyside School. What was determined at the end is that Station 15 South Bay provides one of the highest levels of service per capita in all of San Luis County, and we should be very, very proud of that. Also in January, KCOI Channel 12 came out and did a short news story on the mobile data computers that are in Station 15 equipment, rather relatively new piece of equipment in the county fire system, although some of the other cooperators in San Luis County have been using it for quite a while. The reason Station 15 was picked was due to its proximity to our GIS lab down at the South Bay Training Center, and the folks in the computer lab there are the ones who are maintaining those computers, so they're able to do a good interview with both the users and the producers of the mobile data computers. Continuing on, we started the annual medical exam program for the reserve firefighters to make sure they're medically fit to be wear self-contained breathing apparatus. That went on, went with no issues. The reserves signed their annual contracts. Those are submitted to Sandy now as appropriate. We did some training in the month of January. You see there, one of them is the Company Officers Academy. It's an annual refresher that actually a couple members of the Station 15 attended. Two new reserve firefighters that we hired last fall started their task books, and I'm happy to report that they finished them early this week, and I believe we'll be bring them in either in April or in May to be sworn in. And firefighter Nick Stitzel became a driver operator, so that brings a total of four driver operators in the South Bay Company. Is there any questions or concerns I can answer for you? Five. It says five? Got to do my math. Okay.
Any questions from the board?
Yes.
Director Baltimore.
The fire fund, am I up? Can't hear myself. Is this for the Emergency Service Activity Committee, or is this finances that I have in front of me, or is this for the chief? Can you?
This is the chief's, the manager's report right now.
Okay. No, but in front of us we have the fire fund.
Okay, I'm sorry. I understand. That is for the request for proposal. I believe it's 660.
Okay. Yeah, for later.
It's the fire engine. Okay. It's the fire engine.
Yes. That's for agenda item 6C. Yes.
All right, I'm on board.
Okay. Thank you.
You were on that committee last year. You know we want to replace the fire engine, right?
That's a recall.
Any other questions? Seeing none, then we'll move on to the utility department report.
Yes. It's on now.
Okay. Good evening.
Utility.
Did you turn it on?
Just to preempt everybody's concern here, my intent is after we get done with the reports to move up 6C, but I don't want to do that until we finish the reports.
Okay. Can you hear me? All right. President, Vice President, and Board, public, and staff, this is Margaret, the utilities report. I've changed the report a little bit this time, trying to get away from an old pattern. So I'm just going to bring to your attention what the production was in January 2012, 19.12 million gallons, and that was an increase of approximately 16% from last year's production. We also had 19.29 million gallons in consumption for the largest part of our water service area. That was billed for December through February, so a pretty dry month. And then our revenue was $134,692. So both revenue and consumption went up by 12%. I also added a production by well site at this time and runtime hours on all the wells, pumps, and motors, so you would know and notice that our crew's been good about bringing down the runtime hours at Palisades. And I also gave you an extra sheet here, a spreadsheet that gives you all the well logs summaries, so you can get more details out of that. The crew has been doing their regular duties and performing as required. And I wanted to bring to your attention also that certain members of the crew, especially Nate Paul, who was just recently hired in August 2010, passed a course, two courses, one for small water operations and the other for treatment systems in the upper 90th percentile, and now he's eligible to take the certification test for a D2 and a T2. And being on board for this short period of time, he's already received a D1 and a T1, and I just wanted to commend him for his due diligence there. And I also wanted to say thank you to Jocko Sweet, we could not renew his contract because of some new legislation just passed, and we just hope he is happy in his retirement now. So, and then there were some power outages that happened back in the beginning of February, and it was a result, I believe, of a
high voltage. And we received a lot of calls. We got a total of 9 calls to the office about low water pressure. What happened is it's just a safety feature. The pumps won't, they will not operate. They shut off if the voltage is too high. So unfortunately, it also shut off the backup generator, and so the crew had to go out there manually. They couldn't figure out at first what was going on. They were running around, and they've got the voltage down. As of today, they reported that it's back to normal conditions. But all over town, they were having the same thing. And anyway, I also met with the subcommittee on water rate increases and tried to fill in a little bit there. And I see where you're going, and I really appreciate all the work that's being done there. And also, I'm keeping up on our drainage waste discharge orders and keeping up with the late general permit. I still have to submit an annual report, even though they haven't got a new draft permit out yet. So we're still working under an old one, but that's just the way it goes right now. But if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Any board members have any questions?
I have
Vice President Moodhart.
Some comments or questions. First off, Margaret, thank you very much. The report is very informative. I appreciate the extra effort you put into making this report. I think this type of information is going to be very helpful to us.
Okay.
You did make a comment here about the, this is just kind of curiosity, about the 12. The revenue increased by 12%, 12.3%, and the consumption increased by 12.4%. That sounds like a good thing. In other words, our revenue, the way it's set up here, is matching what our consumption is. Is that a fair assessment, that those numbers should match, or is that?
It all depends on what spectrum of the consumption.
Okay.
But I think it's good. It's just right now we're in a drought, I think.
Okay.
So, but yes.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to get out of how they correlate.
It's just, I'm not sure.
Okay. And then it looked like there were some alarms at the 8th Street well. Was there anything that needed to be done in terms of those? I mean, was that?
Yeah, every time there's an alarm, the operator on call is called out.
Uh huh.
So if it's after hours, he goes out and takes care of it and troubleshoots it. If it's during business hours, he goes out and takes care of it also. Lots of times, we do have that big old Tesco unit at 8th Street, and sometimes it's just communication between the wells and the unit down there.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward someday to having new SCADA.
Yeah, that has we've heard. Okay. But those things that set those alarms off, were corrections made so that the alarms wouldn't, or is that just something that's kind of normal to expect?
Well, I think possibly the low chlorine alarms, they were having problems with some of the, they were using diaphragm pumps, so they've changed over to a different type of pump now, and they're not getting called out as often. So they were getting airlocks in them. The other alarms, I'm not sure. Sometimes it doesn't fit into one of these categories. This was an old format. I might be rejuvenating this thing, too. All of these spreadsheets are dynamic, so it wasn't a power failure, and it wasn't a well failure, so it didn't fit into those categories, but it was something else. I'm not sure exactly.
Great. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll move to the Administrative Department report. Sandy.
Good evening, President Ohilski, Vice President Moodhart, Board, Public, Staff. The Administrative Department report basically gives an update for February. Most of our activity starts in the front office, and The board had requested that we be open during the lunch hour to better serve our customers at the last board meeting on the 2nd, and so we instigated that on the 3rd, and we are now open again during the lunch hour. We've had several visitors during that time, and they've been very happy that somebody's been there to cover. We did tracking of calls and visitors from February the 9th to the 22nd. We had 162 visitors and 148 phone calls. The 15th is usually the busiest day because that's the day the water bills are due. And we had 28 visitors that day and 27 calls. Our office hours are 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. I'm on, but it's cutting in and out. We do have a 24-hour night drop box, which is located now to the front side, or excuse me, the right side of the front door. It used to be at the right side of the front door and in the door itself. We have blocked off the slot in the door itself, so the public needs to know that. They need to use the drop box, and it's marked payment slots, and it's to the right-hand side of the front door. Some of the activity during the month of February, and we do this every month, but I wanted to let the public know what we do, and we do meter reading, and the crew goes out around the 10th of every month to do the reads. This month we produced 1,552 water bills and 1,552 billing inserts. There's copies in the agenda. One of the inserts is how to pay your water bill and different options for paying it, and also that mark your calendar for Mission Country Disposal Extra Pickup Week, which is April 2nd to the 6th, so that our customers have the information in front of them along with their water bills. Due date is the 15th of the month usually, unless it is a holiday. On the 16th, the late notices go out. We produced 192 late notices in February. This gives the customers another 15 days to pay their water bill. After the 15 days is up and all the payments are posted at 8 o'clock that morning, then we do door hangers. 50 door hangers went out. That is producing them in the office after we run the reports, making them up and sending them out to the field crew. The field crew hangs them on the doors. After that, they have 48 hours with which to pay their bill, and if the bill's not paid, then we lock out the customer, which is something we hate to do. But it's according to the rules and the bylaws of the district. We had 8 customers who had to be locked out in February. 2 of them still remain locked out. The other item I wanted to share is that we realized a longevity distribution check from SDRMA. It was for the workers' compensation. We have been with them for 8 years, and we deposited a check for $579. Our accounting software. Amparo Haber is our accountant, and she has been there several years. I've been there longer than her, so I remember when the software came online, when we were getting bids for it and public making comment on it. It was expensive at that time. It was around 2004 when we actually brought it online, but it's been a great investment. So we're talking, it's 8 years old now, and it still is being honored with awards. It's the only fund accounting for nonprofits that's received 5 consecutive Campbell Rinker Awards for customer satisfaction. Campbell Rinker has provided market research to nonprofits and the companies that serve nonprofits since 1991. They are a member of the Council of American Survey Research Organizations and the Marketing Research Association. We've always thought it was a great software. It's easy to work with. It's easy to make changes to. And I think this just proves it with the awards that they keep getting. One of the inserts that we put in recently in the water bills is a water customer information request. It was a front and a back, and it was asking for basically names, home phone numbers, cell phone numbers, email addresses. The reason we did this is if we have a customer that has a major water leak, we want to be able to get a hold of them as quick as possible. Some of our customers live out in other areas, in the valley and Bakersfield, places like that. The response has been overwhelming. We've had hundreds of them come back in. So we're trying to get them all put into our billing software and get everything updated, and we really appreciate the response. I encourage you to ask any questions that you might have, and that concludes my administrative report.
Do we have any questions? Okay, seeing none, then we'll have committee reports, please. We have nobody here from LOCAC. You can discuss that when you get to your attendance at other committees. Emergency services.
The emergency services committee list is a It's on that. The emergency services committee met Tuesday, February 21st, and first matter was handing out certificates of appreciation to the members. There was a recommendation to adopt a CPI increase of 2.6% on the special fire tax, and the recommendation was made that we should approve that. Placement of reallocated funds from audit adjustment. There's an ad hoc committee that was formed. There's still ongoing discussions about that. There was a review of the RFP and making recommendations to staff and board with regard to the purchase of the fire engine. An update on the Los Osos Hazard Mitigation Plan. And this is something new. Because since last April, there had been virtually no movement in that respect, and now we are finding significant movement in this regard, and it's much appreciated. Then there is a discussion regarding a plan to maintain the Tierra Las Encinas hazard abatement projects, and some discussion as to whether or not there should be funding allocated to that for maintenance, because there was over $30,000 spent this time in creating safe zones for hazard abatement around houses, and if that's not going to be maintained over the years, it will be more expensive to cut these shrubs back.
Excuse me, sir. Could you check your microphone again?
Hello?
I don't think we're working. Could you train microphone?
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that working?
Okay. All right. Great. There was review of the status of the cement pad damage, and that's a matter that was discussed in closed session by the board today. Hydrant system flow and PSI was presented by Chief Veneris. There was a discussion regarding Los Osos roads, which was far more controversial than necessary because it had been worded as specifically paving and barricades. And so a lot of people from certain neighborhoods came out with regard to the barricades, expressed their opinions. The matter was taken off the agenda because really this was intended to address paving issues, not barricades. There was a review of the monthly fire department report, which we've heard, and that was pretty much the gist of that meeting.
Any questions, Director Vogel? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to Finance Advisory Committee.
Okay, and we met on Tuesday, this last Tuesday, and we had two members of the committee. We had one absent. We discussed the warrants, finances, and cash reserve and recommend that the board accept them. We also discussed the request for proposal for the IT service to go out. There was some discussion in regards to the radius on advertising, and the staff wants to limit it to, so that's not too broad, so that if there was a call for them to come to the office, it wouldn't be too delayed. We also discussed the request for proposal for the fire engine, and the committee recommended the board approve and allow the staff to issue. This will be a group purchase request with Pismo Beach. Both ESAC and CAL FIRE agree to move this forward. We also talked about the 10th Street tank repair bid process, and that was a pretty in-depth discussion. And then the committee recommended the board proceed and allow staff to begin the bid process because of the urgency of getting the tank repaired. And Utility Advisory Committee also highly recommended we move forward ASAP. We also discussed the 3rd Street well rehab project. The committee did recommend the board approve and proceed with the project so the 3rd Street well can be brought back online. This is a dechlorination project. The cost of the project came down significantly because of the water department staff and initiative coming up with a far superior solution. And so we're recommending that go forward immediately. We also discussed the DPI special fire tax assessment, and the committee recommended that the board adopt the 2.64% increase. Both CAL FIRE and ESAC agreed this should move forward. And the staff has requested and the committee recommended that a second cash drawer be approved for the office. The office is now open through lunch, and instead of the one drawer being counted on the change of the shift of the personnel, the second cash box will allow a smoother transition. And the committee also had a general discussion about the district schedules of fees, and the committee recommended the staff and the interim general manager research other locales and their fees and come back with recommendations and or changes to us. And after discussion, the Financial Advisory Committee meeting will be moving back to Monday, and the next meeting will be April 2nd. And at the end of the meeting, we also handed out certificates of appreciation to the committee members. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions? I just have a comment. I should have acknowledged that Sandy is sitting in for our interim general manager, Mr. Cooney, tonight. But just for future references, one of the things we're going to talk about when we appoint the committees tonight is that we want the two Utility Advisory Committee and the Emergency Service Advisory Committee to see the items first and then go to financial and then come to us. So I think from a reporting point of view, I'd rather see ESAC and UAC report first and then have the financial advisory come last. Because now I'm going to have Leonard say some things that basically Michael already said. So can we just in the future make sure the financial advisory committee is the last report? Okay, thank you. With that, then we'll move to Vice President Muthart.
Thank you. The Utilities Advisory Committee met on February 8th at the Los Osos CSD office. This was the first meeting of the committee and our new interim general manager. Margaret Faulkner also attended the meeting. Our first order of business was to review our current action items and recommendations. We discussed the Los Osos CSD Retrofit Ordinance 2004-01, or also known as the Water Conservation Retrofit Program. This ordinance will be reviewed by staff to become familiar with its contents in order to determine its usefulness in regards to the county ordinances. We had one recommendation to make a change to our recommendation form. The change has been made and will be presented at the next Utilities Advisory Committee meeting. The Water Rate Subcommittee has met two times since our last Board of Directors meeting. With Margaret's help, we have developed Rob Miller's Working Capital Improvement Project List with a timeline. We will be presenting this list to the Utilities Advisory Committee at our next meeting. We're now looking at some real financial scenarios of what increases will be necessary to meet our capital improvement goals with the anticipated revenue decrease due to conservation and the migration of customers to lower rate tiers. We're currently looking closely at our budget line items in order to maximize the revenue and reserves we already have. Our goal is to present this to the Finance Committee at their next meeting as a package with our recommendations to be presented to the board. The committee will be recommending that our project will be a pay-as-you-go, meaning we'll be accomplishing our goals of maintaining our water system without outside financing. Margaret reported on the Third Street well project. The project originally called for a replacement well to be drilled, an alternative system that allows the water adequate residence time for disinfecting has been improved and will result in a significant cost savings in terms of capital outlay. We also discussed utilizing water funds for certain aspects of drainage as a need to develop a replacement schedule with existing funds. This is going to be discussed at the finance. So what we're, I think, to be a little more clear on that, it's we're looking at developing a schedule of replacement equipment and things just as we would other capital equipment in the water distribution system, do the same thing for drainage, and look at in the process look at what existing funding we have for that. Our scheduled speaker from the county was unable to attend our meeting. As it turns out, the original invitation to come and speak did not go through proper county channels. So we will make sure we do this next time. We invite any county representatives. And for the record, we still have an open invitation for county public works people to come and speak with us. Regardless, we do have a desire to correlate the county. What am I talking about here? In terms of drainage, because our speaker was going to come talk to us about the drainage programs, we still have a desire to correlate the county list that they presented at the community meetings with the CSD and LOCAC information that we provided to the county. So a request was made to have staff make this correlation so we can develop a priority list of drainage projects that would be our list, things that the county is not intending to take care of. We initiated a discussion regarding the recycled water management plan. Our initial concern deals with the establishment of a baseline for conservation. Purveyor data indicates that consumption levels are much lower than the report indicates. The report has added content directly from the Medalis report, so it was questioned whether any of our recommendations that we communicated regarding the Medalis report were incorporated. So we will look into the fate of these recommendations. One major concern is that the county will be using outdated consumption numbers as a baseline when it is believed that our consumption is much lower. So this could have ramifications on how much money is spent on conservation and the influence of how decisions are made regarding future development in Los Osos. That is the end of my report.
Any questions of Vice President Muhart?
Okay. Also, our next meeting is scheduled for March 21st. That's not our regular time, but I'm going to be out of the area on the 14th. So we have postponed it 1 week to the 21st, same time.
Now you're done?
Now I'm done.
Any questions of Vice President Muhart? With that, then, we'll move on to director's attendance at other public meetings, which would be Director Baltimore, who attended the LOCAC meeting.
All right. Thank you. Am I on?
No.
Yes?
Am I on now? Yes. All right. All right. lost my place now. It's February.
Okay.
Locac, yes. Excuse me, I got a wick, if I could use the phrase, a wicked head cold right now. So I attended a Locac meeting on February 23rd and gave an update of the CSD board to Locac. Locac did not have any agenda items other than to hold, an, as I understand it, an open closed session as they discussed bylaws. So, that didn't even happen. after my presentation, there were a number of questions from the board and the public and surrounding nitrate and those questions I communicated to you. And my understanding is that Director Wright will then be presenting that information at the next LOCAC meeting. I did not. So one of those questions was Frank's questions that he brought up, and so will be answered in the next LOCAC meeting. And I didn't understand. Richard did make a comment about the letter that the board sent to the Regional Quality Control Board for testing of nitrate to start that immediately. And I thought that was just an informational comment to me for him to, he conveyed that a I should be getting a, or we should as a board be getting a letter from the board, from the regional board, stating that they would like to see testing. I did not know it was a question for me to forward, so I apologize, Richard, on that part. And so with that, that's pretty much what happened at LOCAC. That's not what you wanted me to convey, Richard?
I don't know when you left, but there was a discussion that they're actually going to agendize writing their own letter. They wanted a copy of the board's letter. They wanted a copy of the waste discharge.
All right. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Thank you, Richard. But, I left before that. I had to make another. I know. I apologize.
Since you have the wicked head cold, I'm going to let you off the hook this time. Okay, with that then, any questions of Director Baltimore? Seeing none, I've talked to Chief Veneris, and he will let us go in our normal order here. So I'm going to take the consent agenda, have public comment, and then when we get to the hearing items, I'm going to move both the fire engine and the 2.6 CPI to the beginning, and we'll do the committee appointments at the end. If there's an emergency, Chief, let me know, and I'll push it further. Okay, so we have the consent item, consent calendar items. Anybody want to pull an item? Okay, seeing that.
I don't want to pull an item, but I had a couple of questions. I had a question on the, what is this guy? This is the, lost everything here. 5D on the financial statements.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand the statement that said the $40,000 was placed into appropriation for contingencies in the budget because there was no document available that confirmed the reduction, so there was some doubt if it would ever happen. That is kind of hanging there, and I don't know if that makes sense to other people.
I think the way to answer that is that that's something the emergency services and the fire department is dealing with, so they didn't have direction until that was resolved at the fire department level. Is that correct, Phil? The question was the $40,000 that where the savings of the $45,000 would go. John, do you want to show him that? It's
The $45,000 was put in there by AMPI. We weren't sure if that was going to come through the schedule later or not. It has. And AMPI was, and I discussed it with Amy, and that will go into the fire sinking fund as an additional. But it is a net savings to us.
Okay.
It wasn't resolved as of the time of this.
No, that was done this week.
Okay.
Is that, it's just, are you good with that?
Worded kind of doubt if it would ever happen. That was a little.
Well, it was an uncertainty at the time. Okay. Now it's a certainty, so we're good to go.
Okay. Okay, that's all I had.
Okay, with that then, we'll go ahead and open it to public comment on either the administrative and committee reports.
To power up our well in case of emergency with that generator. So that's my questions on that report. As far as the warrant register, this is my opportunity to ask again about a severance, and I think it would just be prudent to let us know whether or not and how much Mr. Gilmore was given, if given anything, in a severance package, rather than us have to do the math. The other question I didn't get answered at public comment was, are we going to or are we getting some compensation for our fence? And then item E, the staffing study, it looks like you're going to table it for a while. I would like to see, it's becoming stale already, and my concern is that the longer we go, the weirder it gets. And I don't want it. That was a lot of money to spend, a lot of good information for the district to consider, and I hate to see it be pushed out too far, and certainly brought back for committees to take a look at, because it kind of was hidden for a long time. So those are my comments at this time.
Thank you. Any other comments on those items, Frank?
Frank Salio. Question regarding some of Leonard's comments. When he says that the county has the wrong numbers in the amount of usage of water that's being used by the CSD pumping, I wasn't clear about how you or this committee or this board is going about to try to get that corrected with the county to get those numbers, the correct numbers, to be used by the county instead of the numbers, some outdated numbers. So if you would clarify that. And you talked about conservation, that funds would be lost in that area. I mean, because people are conserving, they're using less water, there's less funds coming in. It sounds like that those people are conserving eventually going to be asked to pay more for water that are using less water, which seems to be the trend, even in Golden State, that they have a clause that to protect them from those of us who conserve water, they get more money for some reason. You talked about further development in Los Osos, and I know that this district have been, the people in this district have been using less water, and I believe in Golden State have been using less water. So that pretty well covers people in the Prohibition Zone, or been for years have the amount of water being used by both groups, Golden State in the Prohibition, as well as the CSD people in the Prohibition, which is all of them for CSD, have been using less water. Yet, and between 1985 and 2005, the seawater intrusion was, you know, approximately 60 feet per year. So as the people conserve more water, it seems like in between 2005 and 2010, seawater intrusion is moving somewhere around 700 feet per year. So hopefully that, I don't know if you are looking at that issue too, or is that part of your ISJ issue? Because it seems like how would there be any further development in Los Osos, no matter how many conservation measures are being put into place, when less water means that the seawater is still moving much faster than it has in previous years when pumping was even much larger. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Richard?
Richard Margetson. I just want to clarify something on, first of all, on the contract for and the request for proposals for the tank. One thing Mike didn't talk about is the committee had a discussion about the construction management contract and the belief that it was excessive, maybe exorbitant. The one thing I had a problem with, and I think a couple of the other committee members had a comment, concern with, is for a project that size, there's 320 hours allocated for construction management. There's some other hours that they're allocating for other things they're doing, but as far as during the construction period, there's 320 hours allocated for construction management. That's 8 working weeks, 8 hours a day, them, and just bringing it to all the members, the board members' attention, so they can make sure that it's on their agendas when it needs to be for the committees, is so this rate increase, if it's approved, can go into effect the start of this next fiscal year, so we can realize all of the revenue and start getting some of these projects underway. I have a comment on the special fire tax now, but I'll wait until that item comes up. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other further public comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the comment. And I would like to, I think we'll refer this as questions to be answered next meeting, because I think the question about the fence needs to be answered. And then I think, secondly, the environmental review process for the denitrification equipment, that question needs to be answered. So I think those two things need to be answered. And I have a question for our staff. After the Financial Advisory Committee meeting on Tuesday, we did get another letter regarding a clarification of that. Has that been released to the public? The letter we got clarifying the construction management, that it was actually construction expense inspection and an amount not to exceed?
Yeah, but I think the public should have been.
I do too.
Published for.
There was a letter clarification in response to that particular question. Unfortunately, it did not. It got to the board, but unfortunately, it didn't get out to the public. But if I can paraphrase, I think that it did clarify that it was not construction management per se, but it was actually on-site inspection, and it was a not-to-exceed contract. I think those were the two critical issues that were spelled out in the letter,
yes,
if I understand correctly. If you want to discuss that more, Mike, maybe, because you were at the financial advisory.
Well, that was where the confusion was, because we didn't have a breakdown, and even we didn't have an estimation of an engineer's estimate of the repair cost, which has been provided to us now. It's between $120,000 and $150,000 for the repair. And that was clarified as far as the inspection. It was not to exceed, so it's they're not going to go anywhere near that from what we understand.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. And I will make sure that this letter is available, so, because it should have gone out to the public. It should have had copies available here. That was an oversight on our part. It just was an oversight. Anyways, I think that addresses that. So do we have any further discussions on the consent calendar items?
Answer some Frank's questions.
Or? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. There was a question of how we were going to get the numbers fixed, if you will. It's been an effort, ongoing effort to do that. We're hoping through the ISJ, we've got Rob Miller's ear and attention in this. And we didn't discuss exactly what additional efforts we could make at the UAC, but we did discuss the need for that and a vehicle to do that. So it's something that we are very aware of, and we're trying to find the best ways we can get the word out there that these numbers are possibly inaccurate. In conservation, Frank, you hit it. Conservation costs more. It's just a fact of life. You save more, and you have to get charged more because you made the effort to save more. I can't say it's economics, because it's kind of reverse economics, but it's it's a fact. It's every community that has conservation has the same dilemma. And as far as development and our efforts in conservation and thing, it is very much, if not all, about saltwater intrusion. So that is our main concern, is saltwater intrusion with all these efforts.
I just follow that up with a comment that's the rationale for the tiered water rate structure, is that it encourages conservation and penalizes the big users, but the people that are conserving aren't being penalized. So that's why the board went to a tiered structure last year, and that's why we're going to stay with a tiered structure this year, I would assume. So, although I'll save my judgment until we get the water rate study and see where we go with that. Okay, so I think we've answered and beat every horse in the town to death at this point. So can I go ahead and have a motion? Go ahead and adjust these items as I already stated. We'll go ahead and move up item 6B inside item 6C, so Chief Vanaris can discuss both of those and get out of here. So do we have a preference? Chief, do you have a preference for which order we take these two in, or does it matter? You're wearing the badge, so we trust you.
I don't trust you.
So we'll take 6B first, the CPI increase.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. President, members of the board, before you is agenda item 6B, the annual special fire tax adjustment. The Emergency Services Committee met over this on February 22nd, I believe it was, and received a report from their working group. They have outlined a number of items that they believe that would warrant an increase in the special fire tax. CAL FIRE supports many of the items that they recommended, and would support the increase of the special fire tax, because we believe that we can show value to that increase of the special fire tax if this board would consider this. The CPI can be increased annually after input from the committee, from the public. As you well know, it's a combination of the Bay Area and the Los Angeles area indexes. This year, AMPI has computed out that the rate can be increased to a maximum of 38 cents. I'm trying to find it's per benefit unit for a total of $14.88 per benefit unit. Is that correct, Annie? AMPI? Okay. And just a reminder, it's 5 benefit units for a single family residence. And multifamily dwellings are 4, with mobile homes, I believe, are 3, yes. Okay. Is there any questions or comments before? Absolutely.
Yeah. I think AMPI spelled this out in the staff report, but this is tentative approval. This will come back to the board for formal action at a future time, but this is just a tentative approval for the CPI increase.
Thank you for that clarification.
Can I ask, let me follow up on that with my own question then. Is the motion that's in here correct then? Because the qualifier says direct staff to undertake all necessary legal processes towards final implementation and collection. Is that what you're talking about, John?
Exactly.
Okay. Do we have any questions?
Just to clarify, why is it temporary? I'm sorry.
Because it takes two. It has come to the board before the board twice.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, and I just wanted to make one other quick thing. Typically, when you come to these types of things, we want to make sure before we go through all the legal processes of putting the notice in the newspaper and conducting a formal hearing, that there is community support and board support for the increase, so we're not spending significant amounts of money to get this before the board under the ordinance, only to find that there isn't a support for the increase. So this is sort of, I don't know how else you say it, is tentative approval so that we know that we can spend the money on the noticing and all the other requirements in order to get this back before you.
That's where I think it, you know, the end of the motion says direct staff to undertake all necessary legal processes towards final implementation and collection. So that's what we have to move forward with. Do we have any other questions? I mean, before we go to public comment, I would have to say, and I want to compliment, I think we have the best fire, you know, Cal Fire here is awesome. Our station is awesome. And I think this will just help us get better services to the public. So, so with that, I'll go ahead and open it to public comment. And I should just clarify, the Financial Advisory Committee did recommend approval of this. So, as did Emergency Services. I don't want to leave you out of the picture either, David.
That's right. I said twice.
Richard Margetson, your Exhibit A gives a breakdown of the special fire tax from year to year. I just want to highlight that from an original, the final was last meeting, the funds that were transferred into capital outlay for the fire department, there's been a subcommittee that was formed. It's a subcommittee of the emergency services, and Julie Tacker, myself, and Lynette Ternosky have come up with a number of recommendations that Phil briefly talked about. Our recommendation that you'll be hearing about, I think, next month is that the district increase the level of service from where we are right now from, what do we call it, 3-1? 3-1 to what our subcommittee is calling 3.5 and a half. Our goal when Cal Fire came on board was to eventually get to 4-0 staffing. Which would be four full-time firefighters, 24/7. We believe with the reduction in reserve cost will help offset the increase in adding this additional personnel. This special fire tax increase, this slight increase, plus the fire department, every year they've been here, they have run a surplus in their budget. That coupled with a couple of other things we found in the budget during our discussions, our recommendations are going to be that and we asked Phil, you know, where this sat on his list of priorities, and Cal Fire where it sat on their list of priorities, and this was number one, that we increase this level of service. So we already have an outstanding level of service, this increase, and if we eventually get to 4-0, we will be second to none in the county. But that recommendation's coming. But I just wanted to let you know, if we weren't doing that this year, we might, the recommendation may not have been to take this 38 cents.
Thank you, Richard. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Again, I, having sat in at the last Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting for part of this discussion, and again, given the excellent job that Cal Fire is doing and our local firefighters in Station 15 are doing, I think that it's something, you know, that's only going to make our services better. And as Richard points out, we're talking about 38 cents over 7 years, so, or 8 years, pardon me.
88 cents.
Well, it's 38. Yeah, I'm sorry. 38 currently and 88 over 8 years. I got it. Too many eights.
Crazy eights.
Okay, so any comments on this, or can we have a motion? This is a long motion, so somebody has to read it.
Okay,
so we'll defer to the person who was at the Emergency Service Advisory Committee.
I move to adopt an increase. Okay, yours says I can use it. It's not.
Yeah, yours doesn't work.
Thank you.
Hello?
Okay.
I move to adopt an increase of 38 cents per unit of benefit to the fire special tax rate, subject to legal processes required for final implementation due to an increase in the annual CPI rate of 2.6% as per provisions of Ordinance Number 2005-01, and direct staff to undertake all necessary legal processes toward final implementation and collection in the FY 2012-13 tax roll.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I won't make you read the whole motion.
Thank you.
Do we have any more discussion on this? This, again, is the preliminary action, and we'll come back for final action in a later meeting. So, okay, can we take a roll call vote then, please?
Director Bogo?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Vice President Muthart?
Yes.
President Omielski?
Yes. Are you going to be able to make it to the end? Director Baltimore is going quickly. So with that, then, we'll go to item 6C on the agenda, which is the fire engine procurement request for proposals.
Mr. President, this is a rather lengthy item, and because of the overall cost of what we're recommending to you, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this and like to walk you through it. What you have before you as item 6C has been the culmination of several months' worth of work. If you remember, you have two engines that Las Osos CSD owns. One is a 1997 Pierce Quantum. The Pierce is the manufacturer. The Quantum is a type. And you have a 2000 International Pierce. Cal Fire typically recommends about 7-8 years old. You purchase a second engine. That second engine, your first out then goes to your second out, and your new engine is your first out engine. That way you're always driving a newer engine to your initial attack calls. So as you remember, since about 2005, Cal Fire has recommended that you have a sinking fund. The district in some years has been very good at able to get money into that. In some years we did not do as well as we could have. And so that schedule that we're currently using now, AMPI reworked it, and it is called the Las Osos Sinking Fund version March 11th, 2011. And that's what Amy and AMPI have been using regularly. In late 2011, this board and the emergency services directed Cal Fire staff to do two things. One is to amend the March 11th, 2011 schedule on the sinking fund, because that indicated a fire engine be purchased next fiscal year. They asked that we amend it to purchase it this fiscal year, and they wanted us to put together what we call a request for proposal for a fire engine. Cal Fire staff met with Station 15 staff, met with Pismo, who is also trying to purchase an engine. We have a current engine committee for the county fire engines, but to be quite honest with you, they realize and we realize that the engine that's used in the county fire stations and more rural fire stations such as Creston up on the Mesa is different. It's a different platform than what you need here in Las Osas, what Pismo needs in Pismo, where you want a more municipal setting fire engine. So we had two goals. One is to standardize the fire engine so that when your firefighters here in Las Osas go to work at a fire engine, say in Paso, they're working off the same engine. They walk back to the rear quarter panel, open it up, they can expect to find the same gear. And vice versa, when Paso or Park Hill comes to Las Osos to cover an overtime shift or on training, they will be pulling the same hose. And so we work very hard to consolidate the three bids or three types of engines, Pismo, Las Osos, and County, through this process. And so that's very important. The other thing that's very important to this process is that with Pismo and Las Osos unifying their approach, we estimate that we'll save about $10,000 apiece. In other words, if a vendor says, yes, Las Osos, we'll build that engine and sell it to you, they built the exact same engine and sold it to Pismo, they're going to charge us X amount of money. If we put them together and they say, aha, I just have to build the same engine twice, it's a $10,000 savings for each of them. So that we put together a bid spec. There is a copy at the back. It's 96 pages. If you are having trouble sleeping, I can provide this to you later on. But it details everything that goes on that fire engine. After about a 90% draft, we invited several vendors to take a peek at it. We took some of their suggestions to make sure that it's a very good request for proposal. Again, we went through our county fire process to make sure that my fire chief, Rob Lewin, and his deputy, Rick Swan, can support it, and they do support it. So that's the request for proposal. You have before you in your board package some of the legal verbiage, and I'll just walk you through it real quick. There's a title page for the bid spec. There's a quick summary. It talks about, in the summary, we're purchasing the engine together, and they're exactly the same except for Appendix A and Appendix B. Las Osas is Appendix B. That's also in your package. The difference between these two appendixes is basically the paint scheme. Pismo has red fire engines, and Las Osas has white. So we will stay with white. That's the only difference between these two fire engines. It does talk about an April 17th opening, and vendors are requested to send their bid packages back to Pismo. And Pismo, the reason we did that is because the fire captain out of Pismo, working with my fire captain here, is the lead on the committee. He is going to collect it in Pismo at their city hall on Maddie Road and do the opening. The one issue that we have here, it says that we anticipated going out, if you approved it tonight, going out to bid next week. That was been prolonged. The city manager of Pismo, in consultation with his staff, has requested that Pismo do a pre-authorization for their vendors. They're going to send a package out that says, can you do this? Tell us what your maintenance schedules are. Tell us what your abilities to do warranty work in California are. Tell us how quickly your people will be responsive to our needs throughout the life of this warranty system. The reason that they requested that is Phil Veneris, equipment manufacturers, could build a fire engine and sell it, in theory, for $200,000 cheaper than any of the other vendors. That's the low bid. And kind of a little bit about that, so you have an idea what I'm presenting. I would expect that the engine, the final purchase, will be somewhere around $500,000. It is a lot of money. And it's my expectation that it'll be somewhere in there. We've had vendors tell us that it'll be under that, but being conservative, I'm going to tell you $500,000, and if we come back cheaper, then you can congratulate me then. That does not account equipment, so you'll have to remember that that's the engine, and that's some basic equipment on that. We'll be able to move a lot of the fire hose and the self-contained breathing apparatuses and stuff across. There will be some additional equipment purchases. My guess is that'll be around $40,000, maybe a bit more. I don't have a hard figure on that. And once it goes out to bid and we receive it, there's a couple options we have on payment, and we'll explore all of those. I don't really want to go into details on them right now, but I would expect that from this date until we get it, it'll be about a year before we have that thing in service. So is there any questions or concerns with this process?
Interestingly enough, everybody but Vice President Muthart has been on the Emergency Services Advisory Committee to discuss this. So
yes.
I don't know. Do you have any questions?
Only a general interest question. What happens to the old one? Do we get a trade-in or something on that? Or?
The old one, what I would recommend is that your old engine, Medic Engine 15, go to your second out fire engine, and that we evaluate selling, and we do sell your 2000 International Pierce. My guess is that we're not going to get what we paid for it originally. It's 12 years old now. It's still a very good engine. There's a good application for it. It probably was never the appropriate engine for this community. That's my opinion, but there's still places for it. I would not expect to get more than, I'll throw a number out there, $20,000, $30,000 for it.
we can put it on eBay, though, right?
They're on there.
Craigslist or eBay, yes. Any other questions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, David?
Why is there to be no letter sharing?
Here.
We just leave the microphone at there.
Why will the new engine not have letters or numbers on it?
That's a very good question. Currently, we paint our numbers on our fire engine so that, and this is a long-winded answer, we paint our fire engine numbers on there. So Medic Engine 15 will go into the shop at some time for routine maintenance, and we'll send, County Fire will send an engine out there to cover it. And so we'll get a fire here, maybe in Morro Bay. Morro Bay knows that Medic Engine 15's en route. Another colored fire engine shows up, and it will say Reserve Engine 212. And so they're like, well, who's 212? Where'd that come from? And it's very confusing. So we're in the process right now of removing the numbers from all of our fire engines and then putting a magnetic slide on there so that when Medic Engine 15 goes in for winter maintenance, we pull the slide out. When Engine 215 comes in, we put the slide back in, and it always says Engine 15, so everyone understands where they're at.
Okay. Yes, Director Baltimore.
A couple items. Thank you for the report. Did we make any compromises since we're getting the exact same engine that Pismo's going to get because we have a little bit different terrain maybe than Pismo?
We did not make any compromises for this engine. Pismo did not make any compromises. If anybody did, the county fire spec has been strengthened because they had a different fire engine. Gotcha. We were very solid that the engine that we bought is going to be appropriate for the municipal settings of both Pismo and Los Osos. And if you think about it, other than their high-rises, we have a lot of the same commercial properties, and we have the same terrain problems that Pismo has with their heights.
Okay, good. Then also we were, or the station was looking at test driving a engine with a fire truck with a smaller engine. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything specifically about engine size in here. Are we going to get the exact same engine power?
The engines have changed dramatically over the last couple years. The clean air rules and regulations for smog and all that have significantly depowered or made restricted the power of the fire engines. And so there was a lot of talk on, do we get the biggest possible engine and, you know, be able to do it, or can we get a smaller engine and have it geared a little bit differently and potentially...
You mentioned some financial options. You're going to bring those back to us when?
I tried to insert that into this process here and was told that that was not the appropriate place. Right. Basically, get the RFP out, get that back, and when they send their proposals back, they'll come back with various options, and that's when the negotiation will start.
Yeah, we didn't want to lay out negotiation options up front because then we're negotiating against ourselves.
Right. So. I just wondered when that time frame, so when they get back. Yeah. Okay.
So, so just to clarify, yes, so with the new, with Pismo having to go through another cycle of pre-qualification.
Yes.
But we're still on budget for this expenditure in this year. We're still on target for the expenditure in this year.
The pre-qualification process, we were told by Pismo Public Works, will take somewhere between 2 and 4 months. And so we anticipate the two-month period because we have a vested interest in getting this done ourselves.
Okay.
My staff's working with Pismo. That's my expectation. It's my direction to them is to expedite this as quickly as possible. And so, yes, to answer your question, we'll get this fiscal year.
Okay.
Good. All right. Then we'll open it to public comment.
Richard Margetson, I don't have anything negative to say about this. I'm going to take every opportunity I can. If CAL FIRE had not come in 2004-05, before the district didn't even have a sinking fund for vehicle replacement, where we would be right now. And I remember the day during the when Steve Sawyer and I met with Dan Turner, Matt Jenkins. I don't know if Phil was in the room on that first meeting, but he was in other meetings, that they told us that going with CAL FIRE would save this community the first year $250,000. Their contract in total, especially now with this money that's coming back from the contract this year, has gone up less than a total of 2% over the life of them being here. We would not be in this position to potentially buy this vehicle if we want, but we have all the options now for cash. And that includes in the history, gentlemen, the vehicle that was sold to Oceano at a loss, that was custom designed by this district by our previous fire chief, that had served no purpose in this district, that was probably not driven in this district more than a couple hundred miles, that was sold to Oceano at a loss, an almost brand new vehicle. And then what Phil talked about, moving the one vehicle in. That's off in the past. That's all been corrected by CAL FIRE coming into this community. We get a lot of grief outside this community about Los Osos and the agitation and the sewer and that. But this issue, CAL FIRE being in this community, is something this community should be very proud of, and very proud that they made that decision 8 years ago. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. You know, I'd like to just thank Phil and the committee, the Emergency Service Advisory Committee, because I know when I first, my first term on the board, a long time ago, that was one of the first issues that we broached on the Emergency Service Advisory Committee, was replacement of the fire engine. And at that time, it just seemed like it was so far out in the future. I mean, we replaced the one vehicle last year, yes, and now we're on board to go ahead and replace the fire engine. I think it's just awesome. And I really have to thank Phil standing in for CAL FIRE. I think, as Richard said, I think that the services we get here are outstanding, and the price that we're paying is excellent. So,
just to jump on that bagwagon, I want to thank also Amy for absolutely all her work. She's top-notch.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Well, that's why I said Phil standing in for all of CAL FIRE. Okay. So we do have any further discussion on this item? Okay, then, can we have a motion? Well, do you have a microphone this time, though, will you?
I do. I move to authorize staff to adjust the Los Osos CSD vehicle sinking fund schedule March 11. And authorize staff to issue a request for proposal for a new fire engine purchase.
Is that okay, John? Thank you. So I'll second it myself. How's that? Do we have any further discussion? Okay, seeing none then, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Gorgo?
Yes.
Vice President Ogilvie?
Oh, yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
I'd just like to make a few clarifications. You do have the staff report, and basically this is this board appointing advisory committee members to give advice to this board, okay? And if you go back through the bylaws that we just approved, we are going to this year have some committee members that go for two and some committee members that go for one. And that will be done by lot at their first meeting. So that's not something that we're going to worry about this evening. So we're going to pick five members. Assuming we have the full number of people applied. For emergency services, we have five applicants. For financial advisory, we have seven. And for utility advisory, we have seven. The process that we're going to go through is that each one of the board members will be able to nominate a person for this, and then according to our bylaws, the president appoints the alternate. Last year, I made my appointment at the end, which turned out to be kind of awkward because I was having two appointments in a row, the last committee member and alternate. So I'm going to go first, and then we'll go by seniority, and I'll go last so I can wrap both ends. I think that makes more sense. So What I'd like to do is take public comment on this and then bring it back to the board for appointments. Well, John? Yes.
I might just make a little suggestion for a modification.
Yes.
I would like the applicants, if they're in the audience, that want to come up and talk, part of public comment, but have them come up first.
Okay.
And then take
general public,
the rest of general public comments so that we're...
That makes total sense, John. Okay, so do we have applicants in the audience that would like to speak first?
Julie Tacker, and it would be my great pleasure to serve my eighth year on the Emergency Services Committee.
Thank you. Any other applicants that would like to speak? Okay, then we have general public comment.
He's an applicant.
You're an applicant.
What is this?
I am, but I didn't feel that was the appropriate time to speak.
Okay.
I know I'm a little bit probably out of order, but I was watching on TV and I relied on the committee members as well as the two board members that were present at the Finance Committee that it would convey what actually occurred at the Finance Committee. And the fact that I got an email from Mike, I responded to Mike's email. Then there was a change, or there was some change as far as a clarification as far as a contract with ATS, which we did not discuss, which seems a little out of order as far as the process was concerned. And I hope this doesn't jeopardize being appointed on the committee, because I do my homework. And it's just, there was the information was not conveyed. And there's an issue with this particular, even if it's a not to exceed, it's still $40,000. It's 30% of the project cost. That's just ridiculous. And our suggestion, and I thought that the motion was, is that we were going to go out for bid or get clarification of a parallel for construction management as well as for the construction work. And, you know, I just think it's just... I went from livid to angry to disappointed. That I wish that you guys would have represented it. And I spoke at the prior Finance Committee meeting that we reread the motion so that we understand what was actually agreed upon. And so I just am concerned that what was passed tonight wasn't clear to the Finance Committee and that the information provided wasn't provided in a timely fashion so that it actually could be discussed. So it seems a little out of order for me, and that's my concern. But, you know, I'd be a privilege to continue on it, but, you know, I have a passion for not just following the same thing that we're always doing, and this is, you know, we do this. Well, that's not necessarily so. It's $40,000 is a lot of money for this community. You know, if we can save that kind of money, and if we can do it and rely on the contractor, I think that's the best way to do it. But, you know, I just... That's my concern, is that it wasn't conveyed, and you know, it tells me that I need to come to these meetings just to make sure that it is represented. Thank you.
Could I respond to that?
No?
Okay.
Keith? Pardon me. I'm sorry. I was looking at you and watching Richard. I'm sorry. I think Richard is under the weather, too. So.
Richard Margetson, I just... I have to say, I'm really, other than emergency services not getting enough applicants, it's going to be nice to have full committees again. And not slighting anybody that's ever participated before, but when you run down that list of people that applied for water ops this year, the qualifications and the background...
Richard points out, the more participation we can get from the public, the better off we are. So... you know, I, you know, if we want to, and I understand exactly where you're coming from, because that person seems to be really well qualified for the Finance Committee. So maybe we don't want to do it the way I just said, because, you know.
Well, let us pick the Finance Committee first
and see if that person's still available. Okay, well, I'm open to that, because the person has awesome financial credentials. I do agree with that.
But on the other hand, I don't want to slight emergency services either for membership.
I totally agree. All right, well, why don't we... I'm open to going ahead and start with financial advisory if you want to.
I would recommend that.
Okay. All right, well, we'll go to financial advisory, and my nominee is going to be Lisa Gonzalez. Then the next will be yours, Mike.
Okay, I'll go with Keith Swanson.
I like Alice Thorpe.
I knew you did.
I'll go with Diane Corcoran.
I'll nominate William Garfinkel.
Okay, and I'm going to take Gary Freeberg. I mean, he'll be the alternate that I'm recommending. Now, can we go back to emergency
mm-hmm.
services?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just recommend that you just have a single motion now confirming those appointments.
Okay. So can we have a motion then to confirm those appointments, which would be Diane Corcoran, William Garfinkel, Lisa Gonzalez, Elise Thorpe, and Keith Swanson as the committee members, and Gary Freeberg as the alternate.
I so move.
Second. Second.
Any other discussion? Nope. Okay, we don't need a roll call, do we?
You can do it any way you want.
Okay, is any objection unanimous? Seeing none, then we'll have unanimous roll call. Okay, so then we can go back to emergency services, because now we only have four applicants. Is there any objection then to just taking unanimous roll call on the Emergency Service Advisory Committee and taking Brent Marshall, Vita Miller, Julie Tacker, and Tom Wright, which will leave us with two openings on that committee, one for a committee member and one for alternate. Okay, seeing no objections, then that will be passed unanimously.
Have a motion and a second.
Have a motion and a second.
So moved.
I'll second.
Moved by Vice President Muthart, seconded by Director Wright. No objection, unanimous roll call. Seeing none, the motion's approved unanimously. That brings us to Utility Advisory, and I will take Dominic Roque as my nominee. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wright.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll Ron Mund.
Noah Evans.
Aaron Floyd.
Chuck Sneed.
And I'm going to take Lindy Owen as the alternate here to continue as the alternate. Any further discussion? Can we have a motion then?
Go ahead.
So moved.
Okay. We have a motion by Director Baltimore. Do we have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Second
that.
By Vice President Muthart. Any objection unanimous? Roll call. Seeing none, the committee appointments are approved unanimously. I'd like to express my appreciation for everybody applying that wasn't picked. And I would also like to point out that we do have vacancies on the Emergency Service Advisory Committee. I think, as we illustrated tonight, that's an important and vibrant committee to this community. And just because we're moving forward and providing awesome fire service and we're getting a new engine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I think that the input that we get is very, very important on that committee. I think that, back when the fire tax, all that was on the ballot years ago, I think it was very, very important, the participation that we got in that committee. So I would encourage the people passed over for another committee and anybody else that's interested in it, that applications will be open and those vacancies will exist until we have applicants for those. Okay, with that then, we'll move to closing board comments. We'll start with Director Baltimore since I see that he has none.
I was just going to say drink your vitamin C.
Okay, Director Wright.
I just want to thank everyone who applied for the committees. I think it's a good sign for the community that we're getting such a large response.
Okay, Director Vogel.
I also want to thank the applicants for committee.
So I'm looking for a little bit of help.
This meeting's taking a turn for the worse. Yeah, okay.
Money. I need donations to get me out of walking the plank. So anybody that can donate $5 or $10, I appreciate it. It's for a good cause. It's for the
the band and the choirs, their desperate need of new musical instruments. As you know, the band and the choirs perform throughout the community all year long, and we have a fabulous program over there. It's just that things are, like always, like everywhere, it's stretched, and a lot of those instruments that you hear are being held together with pins and duct tape, so need to help them out. I have it at March 16th, but it might be March 25th. So, because I was told March 25th, and it's in my calendar, but this flyer says March 16th. So let's go with March 16th, because it won't.
Thank you.
Okay.
You could be kidnapped for quite a long time.
We're too late to prevent them.
It will be.
They just want to come and watch you walk the plank.
To walk the plank at the city park from it's on a Friday from 3 to 5 at City Park in Morro Bay Boulevard.
We both want to comment on that. And I think that this is a really worthwhile effort, but I'd rather buy you a personal flotation device and see you walk the plank. Yeah, Director Baltimore?
Yeah, this is a wonderful opportunity to show the appreciation and support for our choir and band directors here. We have been blessed with two top-notch people that I know the band director has even gone down into the elementary schools and been able to use the high school students to get the elementary school kids going on musical instruments. So if you can, there'll probably be other people there you can save, and that way you can donate to the cause and still see Leonard walk the plank.
Yeah.
I just have one quick comment. Next Tuesday, March 6th, at the Morro Bay Community Center, there is a meeting of the Morro Bay, or an informational meeting on the estuary program, which is their updated plans for the next next round of priorities. This board is represented on the executive committee by me, so this has been going through hearing and public comment over the last, I think, 18-month period or an extended period of time. But this is the draft that's now going to be out for public comment and circulation. So if you're interested in the estuary program and the protection and the restoration of the estuary, which is important to us all, again, it's at the Morro Bay Community Center, multi-purpose room, Tuesday, March 6th, which is next Tuesday, from 6 to 8. So it's a very, very important thing. Last but not least, when our next meeting takes place, the first full week of April is also Mission Country Disposal pickup week for your big garbage stuff that we don't want to end up seeing in the bay. So it's your opportunity. Mark that in your calendar, though. Extra pickup week is April 2nd through 6th. So with that, then we'll adjourn. And again, the correction on your agenda, there will be no joint meeting on April 19th with LOCAC, but our next meeting
is the 26th.
The joint meeting.
No, I know. It's the joint.
No, at the bottom here, it's at April 19th.
Okay, I'm just going back.
Yeah, no. There will be no joint meeting. So we'll adjourn to our next meeting, which we had April 5th here.
What?
Period.
Can we have lunch?
Not tomorrow. I guess. I have to be. Sometimes. Okay.